Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We're all very excited because it is Caulfield Guineas Day, featuring three Group 1s, the Mighton Power Stakes, the Toorak Handicap, and of course, the Caulfield Guineas itself. We've also got a $1.5 million race and a $2 million race, if you don't mind, up in Sydney at Rose Hill Gardens. Guineas Day, it probably isn't what it once was. It's lost a little bit of gloss, but so has Derby Day. At the end of the day, there's still winners to find. We're going to try and find at least seven of them on the 10-race card. There's no point bitching, complaining, and moaning about the quality because they all pay the same. My name's Ben Coluzzi. I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by Will, the Bot Alford, and Nico McGualter. Fellas, I am happy to report Jules's episode last week has gone to the top, and it is the biggest one we've done in a couple years.
Is it
really?
The numbers were huge. The numbers were big.
Shocked. Even on Turnbull Stakes Day, you can do
shocked.
It.
Yep. Shocked to no one.
It's not that surprising, is it?
No. They don't listen to us. They just want to listen to him.
You finally get someone with a clue on the podcast.
All right,
people come trying
speak
to listen
for
to it.
Yourself.
I will say, in terms of percentages, it's probably a 15% increase on our normal week to week. So it's still. Like, we still get a good listening, but when you get someone like that, they can add 15 to 20% on top of your existing listenership.
Well, he's probably the number one guest that we've had on the show, and he doesn't really do a lot of radio, so people probably want to hear his insights.
We had Kingsley on.
Yeah.
We had Kingsley on as well.
But
had a few good ones.
Yeah. I don't know. Jules has just got a bit of an aura about him. His analysis is very good. That's not me blowing smoke up his ass, but... He's just very articulate. And who would have thought he followed you when it was a nightmare, but it was your fault.
There was a couple of sick beats, to be fair.
There were winners at Mertoa, so that was all right.
Oh, mate, just the journey.
Do we know what happened with the rort in Country SA? JJ?
Oh, no idea. I did not follow up on that.
We need to find out.
What are you talking about?
Anyway, who cares about that? Nico, you want to speak about more pressing matters involving the world's fastest horse and what was one of the most anticipated trials on Tuesday. A fair bit has been spoken about it. We'll quickly give our 2 cents worth off the top, even though Joe Pride and everyone else on Twitter wants to tell us that we're not allowed to do that. There's no free speech here, and we're telling everyone how to train. I thought the trial was a little bit like it was fine. I would have liked to see a little bit more. But at the end of the day, he's a fast horse. He's going to get a firm surface next week, we hope. That's what the forecast is looking like. probably got his toe in a little bit. It looked more like a soft five to my eye, and he was just digging it up a little bit. But he can only improve for that experience. He was kept wide on the track, and I'm really looking forward to Everest 8. How was the gate speed he showed?
Oh, exceptional. Yeah, I'm not worried whatsoever after the trial. I thought the trial was fine. Zach sort of kept him wide early just to teach him if he's there in the race that that's okay. He gave him sort of a good look around. And, yeah, I don't know what people sort of thought was going to happen result-wise. Like, he was never going to win that trial by six and, you know, belt them. Linebacker and Overpass are both good trial horses. I think it was a good yardstick. The ground was a bit choppy. It won't be choppy next Saturday on the race. And, yeah, I think there's not a worry in the world. He's obviously travelled well. If he's a bit heavy at the moment, that's better than the alternative that he's not eating, he's not acclimatised. They've got to try and put on weight. I think he's in a perfect position. Zach's a bit of a pessimist at the best of times. He's never really bullish in what he sort of says. And I think it's fantastic because it's created a narrative that these other horses have now got a chance. People on Twitter are essentially covering their ass, trying to take him on, et cetera, but yet the price hasn't moved.
You will get a better price than $1.50 on race day. I think he's still $1.70 with some joints. I feel like you will get $1.70, $1.80 on race day.
I don't know. Talk's cheap.
I do feel
everyone
right.
Potting him. Give us a we'll price.
See. The thing about Hong Kong is there's no Betfair in Hong Kong. So there's no resistance. So there's no big layers going around trying to, you know, level out or get some money back by trying to lay him. So that probably has some factor on his price just being absolutely crunched in Hong Kong. We've got the exchange here, and it certainly will have some effect on it.
But even
there'll be people that are not in his corner.
But even the corporates, like the prices haven't moved for him.
Yeah,
or
they're
for
holding
other
so much in. Their liability all in is probably great. So like they don't want to just give you $1.90 for no reason.
But even the armchair experts, like everyone that's essentially against him, none of the other runners have moved in price. So what's doing there?
Yeah, I think Jimmy Starr has seen some support, 15 into 13. I think Tim Ryan was saying from the tab, but
anyway.
Yeah, I think
you don't get paid for winning trials. Winks never won a trial. There's just a lot of.
I'm sure Winks won a trial.
She probably did, but not many.
There's a lot of unnecessary bullshit on the internet right now. Like,
yeah. I think he will improve over the next 10 days a little bit,
100%,
just tighten up from a fitness perspective and have another good hit out at Canterbury on Monday. He did get a little bit fizzy, and they were saying he wasn't really handling the new environment that well. On race day next week, they're actually going to keep him out the back, apparently.
Perfect.
So I think they've got a little license from the ATC just to keep him away from all the media and all the people. And yeah, it's a smart move.
It's not like he hasn't raced in front of a big crowd before. How many people would be there on a Sha-Tin Champions Day?
Oh, 40, 50,000, yeah. Maybe more. But it's more about they just go straight from their home box straight out onto the track. You don't have like all these thousands of people coming to see him, cameras clicking, all that sort of stuff. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But he's certainly going to start a lot longer than anything he started in Hong Kong over the last 12 months.
Christmas.
Maybe even 2 years.
Do you reckon the trial actually affects the price or...
It affects people's thinking, which will affect the price.
I think if you think the trial is going to affect the price it jumps, you are insane.
Well,
but there are some people who actually have some clue and are actually like bet big who are saying they want to take him on because of that.
And that's the thing. Like, there's people that I thought had sort of some credibility that have just completely just changed my mind after
Nico was just standing here saying I am the smartest man.
No, I'm not saying that at all, but like just some of the tripe that's been spat out, like
let's get on to Caulfield, shall we? We'll get Botter involved here.
Exactly,
it's a rail true. We're looking at good conditions for Saturday, 20 degrees, maybe a sprinkling of rain on the day. a northwesterly wind around the 20-kilometer mark can impact, can help leaders out of the shoot bot. But I think it, I'm going in pretty open-minded, thinking hopefully it just plays fair.
Yeah, just Caulfield.
Happy. I reckon they will be edging off the fence as the day goes on. Nick Ashman was saying on his podcast, lane one might be a little bit of a penalty. So that's probably good to hear. We have had Guineas days in the past where it's a bit of a highway and it's rails and run. Yeah, private life. There's been a few. Griff, that was a pretty biased day as well.
How the fuck did Griff win at Guineas?
Don't know. Just the Stutt Stakes form, butter. The Moonee Valley form, just so superior. Race one, 1,700 meter benchmark, 80 handicap. Mr. Verse is going to sing us a song, $5 from Overactive, $5.50. Blinded by the Light, great song, $7. El Duca, $8. Hot to Go, $8.50. Nation's Call, $9.50. And Amlito, $12. Bot, you ruined your day at 12:30 p.m. last week by backing a loser. How are you going to ruin your week?
What did I back?
That horse that ran down the straight.
How did De Bergerac beat She's an Artist? That was his max.
She's an artist. She's an artist.
Home at the clock tower.
Oh. I told you on the group chat, you'll ruin your day after one race.
Beaten by my own horse, De Bergerac.
Well, at least you've got a bit better price here with Mr. Verse.
Yeah, Mr. Verse is... I don't think 2,000 metres was what he needs. Sort of came around the bend wide and ran on well. The section, like, four to the two was really good. But I think 1,700 meters is perfect for him. He's, you know, perfect spot in his preparation to run to his peak. And just using the market expected rating last time, I think it's more than justifiable to have him shorter than 550. I think 550 currently is available is a spectacular price and should be taken.
Beautiful. Is it the only bet in the race?
Yeah, I think so. That Amleto was really good. I've backed it before, but it's going to get back and I want to be on speed on Saturday.
All right. Well, I'm backing a horse who won't be on speed in race two. It's 1,200 metres. It is the Thoroughbred Club of Australia plate. This one's for our three-year-old fillies. Point Barrow, $3.20 and favourite. Sorry, guys. She's Alibi, $7. Vivid Sun,
shut up, you
$7. Wanker. Surf's Up, $7.50. Vangirl, $9. Trey Magnifique, $11. Barari, $12. And Quick As. She was Quick As on debut, $21. Point Barrow, best bet of the day for me. We know Botta is a sectional nerd, and this last up performance was a sectional nerd's wet dream. Got back into a really awkward position, and her late fractions there at Moonee Valley were just sensational. The rating she put up the start prior at Sandown was sensational, 93.6 on the Form King weight for age scale. And overall, I just think she's got a bank of ratings that would suggest she might be a little bit better than these. She's going to get back from barrier 11, so we don't want it to be mad on speed with how this wind may play. Hopefully it's not a howling wind. And we know it's only one turn around this Caulfield chute, so she can sit a little bit wide. She doesn't have to go all the way back to last like she did last time. And she's now fit fourth up. I think she'll just murder them over the concluding stages. Really, really keen. Took $3.80. Will, who do you like?
Trey Magnifique ran really nice late time over 1,000 metres. Last 200 metres was awesome. And also, I'll probably also back Point Barrow for the exact same reasons you just sort of said. You know, that Moonee Valley one was awesome. And I've always had a good opinion of her. From a debut run, I've always thought she was pretty good. But, you know, she was off the scene for a while. And she's not a 1,000-meter horse either. So getting up to 1,200 metres, obviously 1,000 metres to 1,200 wasn't ideal as she ran just mental sectionals as well. So you can see her going to a big new peak here. Just awesome. That might be a little bit query, but yep. It's easy enough to back it.
After seeing that replay again today, we did not get enough out of Esha laying winning place. But fair dinkum.
Yeah, it was a fair dart by you.
Dart?
She was never winning that.
Wasn't really a dart. It was sort of pretty obvious, wasn't it?
Well, a dart as in you threw a dart at the dartboard saying she wouldn't run a hole, and she didn't.
I would say it was just a 10-footer that's just gone straight in
the middle. I don't know what your definition of dart is.
Just a straight 10-footer straight in the middle of the hole. Just bang.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I'll give that to you. No one's actually betting in race three or four, but the Herbert Power is a winner. You're into the Caulfield Cup. Botter, any thoughts here? Our favourite is Plymouth, who you backed in the Benalla Cup last start, and Whiskey on the Hill, who looks like he gets a good setup here as well.
I don't know if Plymouth will run a strong mile and a half. That's my query with it. It ran really nice rating. They ran with strong time too, but I'm just worried that a mile and a half will see him out. Whiskey on the Hill, I don't want to, you know, backed it at Mornington last start, but that's hardly a setup to get to, you know, like it was a crawl there. And I just, at the weights, I'm happy to be again. Like, you know, it's got 53 and up. I just, that rating there is just not, I'd rather back others, Young Werther's on the quick backup. But again, even Young Werther, I'm not convinced he loves a mile and a half. A horse that, Lestochka is one that I think can improve drastically and is a bit big at 50-1.
The Ant. She's one of the smallest horses I think I've ever laid eyes on.
Is it really?
Yeah.
They brought it up the cup. Didn't it win it like a German X or something?
Yeah, I think so. It came over. I don't think it did much in a Melbourne Cup, but still ran in a Melbourne Cup. The next race is Katnar's Jeweler's Vase Group 3, 1,600 metres. Oh, Too Good is quite short now. $3.30 into $2.70. Look, she did a fair amount of work last night at the value, but I still thought it was disappointing. I didn't really want to go near that price. What did you think, Bob?
I think, yeah, $2.70, the best price now, is too short. The race is a bit gross. I thought maybe Bond Mistress could improve, but it's going to get back. It's not really. If they go forward on Jenny Lala, which they should, it was really, really good in the, the Super Clark Stakes. But that was a peak down. You probably expect it to regress just based on the BFS starting price. So it's a tricky race. I mean, Oh Too Good just sort of jumps off the page, but do I want to take 270 for it to bounce back off what it did last start? Not really, no.
Yeah, she maps really well. I think she had Equicast on last time. Now it's only synthetic hoof filler. So she's obviously had some feet issues. That doesn't really fill me with confidence either. See What I See bounce back last time, won at Ballarat, the Gold Nugget. Map from 11, not sure, it's but tricky. Yeah, it's a tricky race. Tricky race.
It's a bit gross. Pondalau has been like, I don't know. It's always running on, but it's just going to get back and
yeah, it'll run on again into fifth.
Loses Damien Lane. I don't know. It's going to win something. It's going to blow a horse of the quaddy, even though this isn't the quaddy.
Early quaddy. All right, race five, Weekend Hustler. King Zephyr, $1.75 favorite. He answered a little bit of a D-Day calling last start and won nicely. It was only a benchmark 84, 1,400 metres at Sandown, but now he drops 5 kilos off that performance. Meets Zoo Sensation, who has to carry the 58 at $5, and Amenable, the class runner, at 60 kilos, is $8. Kintyre, $10. Benagil, $13. Snow Patrol, 20-1. I will never forget.
Oh, don't.
Oh. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the day that Snow Patrol knocked Southport Tycoon off. When I had $6 Southport Tycoon all in, he started even money.
Fuck. Why would you bring that up?
In the Autumn Stakes. I will never forget it. And I'll never forgive it.
That was at Caulfield, wasn't it?
Yes. I thought he won it.
That was when he was going, then he wasn't going, then he was going, wasn't it?
Yeah, correct. And we got the good mail when he was going.
It was like $1.90 $6 all in. $6 or something.
So yeah. I thought he won too, and I'm normally like really good with.
Yeah, Bot was cheering.
I thought he won. I'm always right with the final finishes. Like
I'm always right. Good eye for Terry Bailey.
But like I just got that one wrong, and it was.
Yeah. You've also got another prophet here who somehow beat Aliana in 1,000 guineas. I don't know. I don't know how that happened either. What is going on? $23. Nico, King Zephyr, third up, 54 kilos. Nice draw. It's a little bit short, but surely just wins.
Well, if he's going to go on to better things than this, he just has to win this race. Like, it's a pretty leagueless race when you look at it, to be honest. Like, Zoo Sensation, he's been up forever. Amenable, goes good fresh, but you couldn't trust him. Then the rest of them, you're like, yeah, like... He just simply has to win by default. 54 kilos.
Has to win by default.
Well, what resistance is there here?
I think Zoo Sensation's the only danger.
What about Amenable?
Going to give him 4 kilos.
Yeah, Amenable's been jumping out well. He always does jump out well.
You can have him. He's a tease.
He's got to carry the 60.
No. No, thanks.
Oh, he does go well fresh as well. Look, maybe there are two tiny dangers, but King Zephyr is a max bet for me. Yeah. One of two max bets on Saturday at Caulfield. 1,400 metres, perfect. Big weight drop. The adjusted ratings to this 54 kilos, just have him simply clear of this field. And I think he'll at least hold the rating he did last start at Sandown, if not slightly improve on it. And if he does, then I can reason with this price. So clearly one of the better bets of the day. Nico?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's just an easy bet to have, I think. He's leg one of the bet that I'm going to have on Saturday.
Beautiful. You don't want to give away leg two?
Not yet.
All right, not yet. Like, King Zephyr wouldn't look out of place in the Toorak at all.
No, he wouldn't.
Zoo Sensation has had a terrific campaign, but dead set. Been up longer than Craig David. I don't think I could have it here. All right, let's move on to race six, the Might and Power Stakes, four-horse field. Treasure of the Moment, $1.75 from Buckaroo, $2.50. Some people are tipping the great upset, I think, on Jules's. What do they have? Buckaroo to Cause a Boil Over was the name of the Foxcatcher podcast.
No.
He's $2.50, guys. Come on. Wouldn't be a massive boil over.
No way.
Globe, $7.50, and He's a Shocker, $51. Probably well named in a race like this. Look, the speed map.
Good race in the Champion Stakes one day.
Good yeah, horse. But come on. No. Come on now. Globe is obviously going to lead this race. It's a very straightforward speed map, much like the Fian. Globe leads a couple lengths spare to Treasure of the Moment. Buckaroo will sit third, and He's a Shocker will be out the back in fourth. Bot, your quick analysis before Nico and I have a bet?
Well, Global lead, he'll run it probably at an average to quick pace. I mean, that's what you'd expect. That's his one go. Blake Shin's riding. He's not stupid. I'm half, you know, Treasure of the Moment, I'm a little bit worried about it. 2,000 metres. Is that, does anyone else have that? You know, like she won the Oaks and stuff, but
no,
she won the VRC Oaks and all that sort of races and sit and sprints, and then the Sydney stuff was appalling. So
I'd be worried 2,400. But
I'm still a bit worried about 10 furlongs for her, but I could be wrong. You know, like she's good enough over a mile, and I mean, it's not a strong opinion, but I'm still slightly worried about 10 furlongs for her. And Buckaroo's, yeah. You know, he should have won the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup last year, so he's a good horse. But he's been slightly off at this preparation, so it's hard to drill his price down. I'm probably like $1.70 at Treasure of the Moment, and that's not confident, and about $3.40 Buckaroo, but I've got no confidence in the race.
Yeah. I do have confidence in the race. I've marked Treasure of the Moment closer to $1.60, $1.55. I just think the setup here for her just works out too well. Globe is going to be free rolling in front doing his thing. Treasure of the Moment's only going to be a few lengths off him. And then Buckaroo is probably going to be a few lengths further behind her. So I just see a similar scenario to the Fian where obviously Treasure of the Moment is chasing. Obviously, this time it's not Pride of Jenny, it's only Globe. And those two just cleared out and nothing else could get into the race. And I just think a similar scenario could pan out here. She was obviously below her best last time. She was coming off that little bout of colic. She still ran well. The rating was still okay. It was nothing compared to what she did first up. But I just think she'll take over from Globe at the 300 meter mark. And Buckaroo might just be caught a little bit flat footed. Treasure of the Moment's more speed. Buckaroo's more strength. And I just think this might turn into a little bit of a dash come that final 400 metres and she'll just have a few lengths up her sleeve. Damien Lane is so good tactically and I trust him to get this right. Buckaroo, everyone's going to say Sir Delius form. Well, Sir Delius improved at least 2.5 lengths to win the Turnbull and everyone who's back in Buckaroo, well, they're not going to mention that Golden Path went to the line, locked it head-to-head with him, are they? So it's whatever you want to suit your own narrative, but I'm with Treasure at the moment here. I still think the current price is backable. Nico?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's her race to lose. I think it's a perfect sort of platform after last start. I think she'll just sit just behind Globe and click up behind and go bang. Buckaroo's not going to feature in a Cox plate. She may or may not, but if she's going to be competitive in a Cox plate, she just has to go and win here. Yeah, I don't think last start has flattened her by any means. I think it's like the perfect platform to run back to somewhere near her best or where she, you know, kicked off the campaign, and that's clearly the best in this race. So, yeah, I think she's a fantastic bet. Like, Matt Laurie alluded to the fact that she's come on a lot since last start. And I think if that's the case, well, she'll just turn up and win, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I think she'll improve off last start, and she's my second maximum bet of the day.
Yeah.
Is she in your little multi you were alluding
to?
Yeah,
that's the second leg. Just King Zephyr.
In so there's your double.
That's
the,
it.
The running mug double.
Yeah.
I love it. All righty. Let's get to leg one of the quaddy, race seven. It's the time-honored Toorak handicap. It's only attracted a field of 10, but
well, that's because you had the Epsom last week. You've got
the Alan Brown
this week.
It's just, yeah. What the fuck is the Alan Brown? Has that always been a race?
No, it was made in 2023.
So, but the Alan Brown is worth the exact same as the Epsom the following week.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I wasn't sure if it was a race and they just put heaps of money on it.
Ridiculous.
No, it's a completely new race. It's, yeah. It makes no sense. It's cannibalization, but anyway, more pressing matters. Sepples is our $3.40 favorite from Lazura, who has been well back, $5.50. The end of 1,600 meters, is that some niggle? I'm not sure. Evaporate now at to $7, top price. Not a bad price for a horse we know loves 1,600 meters. Transatlantic probably should have beaten Evaporate last time, $7.50. Like a Lucy, $9. Feroce, $13. Speaking of the mile, ran a place in a Caulfield Guineas, then won the Australian Guineas. Damask Rose, $16. Athanatos, this is the one down the bottom of the weights, $18. Desert Lightning, he ran fourth or fifth in this race last year, $21. And Pinstriped, a big price at 30-1. Firstly, what is the speed here? I think Feroce and Transatlantic come across from wide alleys. Desert Lightning wants to be close. Evaporate has some natural early speed.
Sepples.
No, not Sepples. Oh, you're saying Sepples is going to be on speed. Yeah. Yeah, he'll be on speed as well. But I don't think it'll be a strong run race. I think it'll just be average bot.
Yeah, probably just typical sort of group one handicap sort of speed, you'd think. I think Sepples will be forward. Transatlantic will want to be there, and it'd be interesting what they do with Evaporate, because obviously he's not the quickest out, but you know they showed the incentive to push up and lead there last time.
It all depends if he caught wide. It all depends if he misses a kick or not, I suppose.
Yeah, well, he's been quite slow this preparation, so instead that get some work into him at the barrier trials. Who's that guy that does the barrier trial work? Is it like
the guy that Colin Heffield always rides for him. Julian Welsh, that's the one. Yeah,
pace will be fine. Like a Lucy, you'll go back to last. You'd have thought. So pace looks sort of average, I think. I have no real opinion in this race. Maybe Transatlantic is slightly big. I think it looks exactly right, the price, the way the price this race. So I'm going to be no help to anyone here.
Yeah. I've had two bets so far. Yeah. One of those was Transatlantic all in after he ran his slashing second to Evaporate last time. Probably should have won that race. Now meets Evaporate 1 kilo better off the weights. In saying that, Evaporate did more work in the early to middle stages to get to the front. So, look, I'm not knocking that form line at all. I could definitely have something on Evaporate as well if he gets up to $7. But Transatlantic is my best result in the race. The setup for him here just looks so good. He's going to go forward. Mark's are on board. big race rider. 56.5 kilos is a good weight, and I think you're running out a mile strongly. I've also taken $15 for Roche, who carried more weight than Sepples last time. I think 4 kilos more in the Rupert Clark and was closing late. Really well suited up to the mile, should roll forward from barrier 8. And as I said, Evaporate might be the other one I have something on. Damask Rose can run a race, but doesn't have much gate speed. Could get all the way back to last from barrier 3. Sepples, I believe they're a little bit worried about if he'll run out a strong 1600 meters. So I don't think he'll be ridden outside lead. I think they'll just try and take a hold. This is just what the trainers could be thinking. And I don't know if that's going to be more of an advantage to him than a disadvantage. And I just think he's slightly under the odds at $3.40. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with the sentiment about Sepples. Obviously, last time was flattering because Angel Capital should have shit in. And then I think the whole sort of form reference is completely different. I want to be with Lazura. I think there's a sense of timing with her. She'll be in a great position. J-Mac, Waller, 56 kilos is sort of nor here nor there, but she's got, I think she's got the quality to be a solid sort of group one mares horse, and I think she can sort of pick up a handicap group one on the way. Yeah, she's been trimmed in a little bit since they've opened, but she looks a solid sort of each way bet, I reckon. So that's, yep, that's where I sort of sit. But yeah, I agree. For Oche, he's over the odds. Could definitely come with there. But yeah, I've sort of got no real opinion on Evaporate Transatlantic. That was sort of good last start, but does that form sort of translate here? Yeah, there's a few question marks in this race. I'm happy to be with Lazura each way with a little saver for Oche.
Beautiful. All right, let's move on to race 8, the Caulfield Guineas itself. It's a weak edition of the Caulfield Guineas, let's be honest, but there's still a winner to be found, and they all pay the same as they say. 1,600 metres, group 1, set weights, which means the boys carry 57 kilos, and if there were any fillies in this, they'd be carrying 55, but there isn't. So Wotan is our $4 favourite. He has been well-backed. In the early part of the week, it was Autumn Boy all the money came for, but now it's been Wotan. James McDonald, Coolmore, Chris Waller. Autumn Boy needs to improve off last start, but he will. $4.60. Navy Pilot, speaking of good early goes, I think as big as $13 was available yesterday, now $6.50. Vinrock, $8.50. I don't even know what happened last start. He missed the start in the stut. I think it's a clear forgive. Nepotism has been awful so far this preparation. $15. West of Swindon won that stud stakes. Draws the outside, $17. Rivolino, $13. Planet Red, Rivolino, $23, Planet Red, $23, and Observer, $31. Will, talk to me here. What are we thinking? West of Swindon went forward last time, might go forward and inject some tempo again. I think your horse, Observer, gets a nice map on speed.
Yeah, I'd have thought Observer goes forward. I don't know, I'm sort of iffy on West of Swindon. The stable doesn't like to be caught wide, so they could just go back on it. Romantic Encounter will want to be there too. Vinrock, obviously, if he doesn't miss a start again.
Hold on. You know West of Swindon isn't trained by the Hawks team anymore. It is Mar.
Shit. That's true. Oh, good about that.
That's why he led last start.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it does go forward then. That change. I don't know why. I've just had my...
It used to be trained by a Hawks. It's not a big...
Yeah, I know. Slipper. Yeah, I know. Anyway... it could go forward then for sure. Changes the map a little bit then, but yeah, what did you think?
I think Observer gets a really nice map. I think Vinrock will be sent forward. I don't think they're going to go helter skelter here because there's still some horses on trial at the mile, and when there's horses on trial at a mile, they go slow, because they're worried about if they're going to get the trip. And a strong tempo usually means they won't get the trip. So I think it's going to be pretty average sort of tempo.
They won't go slow. They won't go fast either, I would have thought. Just sort of average pace.
You did a little write-up today, and there's two horses that you've circled out. They are Autumn Boy and an observer who you've had a little bit of an opinion of since his debut.
Yeah, observer's just too big, I think. Like this group of horses are no good. Like they're not good. This horse got beaten by an older horse. It was three wide the whole way. And that run was fine. The rating stands up pretty well against these horses. And what he didn't start to, you know, like he hasn't gotten quite back to it yet. But the market trusted it. His third start, he's bred to be good. I think stable's got a good opinion of him too. I just think that $31 is ridiculous. He's going to get a great map. He's going to lead. You'd thought he'd be four to be filled anyway. The other horse that I was sort of wanting to be on early was Navy Pilot. I haven't backed it, and it's been halved in price. So that's not ideal. Navy Pilot's actually related to Animo. And Observer's out of a full sister to Pierrot. So there's a bit of... obviously, Pierrot didn't win the guineas, but got knocked off around second to All Too Hard. And Oldham Boy as well. Just trust in the market. Like the market's got a big opinion of this horse, and I mean it's kind of like 480 earlier was, yeah, that's probably big. I've got $4.50, so it's not even a confident bet. Like I have no real confidence in this race, but I've got to back them. I've got to back Oldham Boy and Observer. I think they're two good bets. And if Santu Cavadi gets into the field, then I'll more than certainly be on it.
Yeah,
but
you've highlighted two horses that I've actually backed at big prices. Observer I took 50-1 each way for all in, and Santu Cavadi I've taken 100-1 for. I only had a really small bet, and he still needs a scratching to get into the race, but he ran a better final 400 than Navy Pilot last time at Sandown. I think if he gets into the race, he's definitely a flyer's chance. Observer will run well. I'm confident he can run top four or five.
Observer.
The horse he got beat by last time, the Belmont Gangster, is
good
an
international horse. Good import.
Yeah, I actually think he's not a bad horse. Rivellino might improve. I've got a little ticket of 50s for him. Vinrock had something on.
What about Vinrock? What do we think? Like, what happened last time? Why was he so bad?
Well, he missed
the market's expected rating.
He missed the start.
I know, but he was like, high vol ran past him late.
Well, yeah, I think it's just a forgive. I think it's just you just put the line through it. As you say, Bot, you use his expected rating. Started at $1.65 favorite there. I think you forgive it. If he steps cleaner from barrier 14, I can see him going all the way forward to sit outside lead.
100%.
So he's on side for me, but Autumn Boy is my biggest and best result in the race. I've got $5.50 for him. I think he just needs to begin well. He'll probably be three back the rails, but he just looks the miler of this group. He's by the Autumn Sun. He's probably one of the better Caulfield Guineas winners we've seen over the past decade. Maybe he is the best Caulfield Guineas winner we've seen over the past decade. And I'm just trusting the camp to have him right. Grand final day, third up. So he's on top for me. Watson, I've only had a tiny saver on it at sixes, but yeah, I don't really want him to win. Nico?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like Watson, I just don't think he has another level in him. Like it doesn't, I could be completely wrong. It's Chris Waller, but I just don't see Watson going to like this new peak where I think Autumn Boy and, Boy can really.
Autumn Boy was three wide and working on a ballistic tempo last time in the Golden Rose. It just goes down as one of the bigger forgives. I think he just has to bounce off it if he comes through the run well.
Yeah.
The map's a bit gross though.
Who? Oh,
yeah.
Bet through it.
Autumn Boy. The map could be potentially sticky.
Yeah, Woden gets the gun map, but yeah, I don't know. Patience is sort of wearing a bit thin with him, but you know what happens? Waller, J Mac, Coolmore, grand final day. He's obviously set to peak on Saturday. Interesting that neither of them are going to the Cox Plate. Waller ruled that out today.
Yeah, even though he paid up their acceptance fee like yesterday.
Yeah, well, J Mac sort of laughed at the fact
too much cash.
Woden 2,000 meters. But. Chris taking the conservative approach with Autumn Boy. Autumn Boy was looking for a mile last time. Does that just completely sort of flatten him for the prep, you know? Wanting extra ground, not getting it, funny run race, tricky map here. I don't really want to be with him. Woden, how many times can you go to the well with him? Vinrock, I think, is probably the best suited, but he's got to jump well, go forward, land in the right spot. The horse that wouldn't shock me at all, but you probably got to take him on trust, is Nepotism. Like, he looked all over the Caulfield Guineas horse last preparation, but could you possibly back him after after two horrific runs?
He's just never been any good.
I don't know if he's not been any good. Like, that Champagne win was...
It was good, but if you look at the form, you look at the form around him, like within the law, all those, like,
it's a horrible junk race. An Observer, he's just a dead set one batter. Like, if he wins the Guineas, well, it's the worst Guineas ever.
Observer's live in the
he's going to the Derby after here, and that's exactly what he looks like—a Derby horse. Like, he doesn't have any sort of sprint.
He's not a turn of foot horse, but that's like, this is the race where he could just go and lead and keep going.
I don't know. I don't know if that'll be the case. But
right. you've told us what you don't like. Tell us what you do.
I don't really like any of them. I think it's probably a bad race. Vin Rock would be on top if you push me for a selection, but yeah, no firm opinion.
All right, let's move on to the Scalacci. What a horse he was. Group two, 1,100 meters. And our favorite here is Neonce, $4.40 from Tropicus. $5, Giga Kick $7, Benedetta $7, Arabian Summer $7.50, Golden Boom $9, Nadal $9.50, is it a cashy? And Devil Knight $16, has seen some support. This is run at Wait for Edge conditions. Botta, you've got a bet here.
Half of these horses are cripples, and Tropicus completely smashed up Arkansas Kid last time, and beat the two other, like, beat Neonce and Giga Kick in a recent trial and a pretty easy
ride. How good was a trial? He's a good trial horse.
Yeah. I don't know. He posted a big rating there last time, and Damien Lane rides it, and should be favourite, I thought.
Where does he map? So, because there's good speed here. Golden Boom and Arabian Summer all kick up inside him. Like, do you think he finds that 1-1 position? There's a chance he's posted.
No, it could be. It's the Caulfield shoot. I don't think it really matters. He'd just be forward to midfield, and Damien Lane's more important than, you know, he'll figure it out. I don't know. Don't really care. I think $5 is a great bet. I think it should be favourite. I think $4.20 favourite is the right price for him.
I think I'd have to agree.
Yeah, like, Arabian, he just smashed up Arkansas Kid last time. Like, Giga Kick's a cripple. Nadal's, like, turned up to the meant to race every single weekend and get scratched. Arabian Summer's a Tasmanian horse, and, you know, you just go off the Betfair SP last time. Benedetta you couldn't have first up, and Neonce is, you know, she's fine, but I don't think she'd be favourite of a Tropicus.
Yeah, look, I think the more I look at the race, he's probably the one I'd have on top as well, but I'm not confident by any means.
I am.
All right, sweet. You've marked it $4.20. It's $5. That's a bet. Take the price now. All right, race 10 is the Northwood Plume Stakes. This card always ends with this race, and it always ends in tears for me. Group three.
What have you backed?
1,200 meters.
What's this race? What's racing this?
Ooh, did Estriella come down the outside and absolutely smash him 1 year?
Was that Estriella? Was that the race that we were beating Ray Bagnerio? Was that one?
I can't remember. I reckon she bolted in, though. It was late in the day at Caulfield. It might have been this race.
No, she didn't bolt in. Ray Bagnerio should have pissed in.
Nah. Oh, go look it up. I can't remember. I think maybe it was another race that she came down the outside and she smoked and Blake Shin on board. Anyway.
Was it the day that Fancy it pissed fire. Down rain when, what's his name, won the, was it the Guineas?
Or? Half Cabin.
Yeah. Was it that race?
He didn't win the Guineas. He won another race.
What was the other race? It was
Guineas Day, though.
Was it
that was the day I had that get off in multi, remember?
Yeah. And the other horse won.
Golden Mile won the Guineas.
Yeah.
Aviatrice won this race last year.
There was another one. One of the old times.
We might be getting days mixed up. Anyway, who cares? Fancify, $3.70 favorite. Been really well supported. Opened as big as $5.50. Amina, $5. You're then out to She's Bulletproof, $6.50. Gumdrops, $9.50. Vestas, $10. Prairie Flower, $12. Coeva Lant, $14. I'm pretty keen on Amina here. I think she should be favourite. I understand the support to some degree for Fansify. I think Fansify is probably better at 1400. She might be looking for that trip now. If this wind really is favouring leaders, then I can understand why you would want to bonus her. But $3.70, you can leave me out of that and give me some of the $5 for Amina, who recorded the fastest late splits of the race in that Manicato. Barrier 9 is fine. She'll blend into the race with Mark Zara on board. Third up, she's ready to peak now. If you look back to her form of last preparation, she's running second in a Robert Sangster to Charmstone and then running fourth in the big one in the Goodwood behind Reserve Bank Gear Kick. Sir Sway was obviously the fly in the ointment in that race, but he's a local. He just managed to run a bolter that day. Give me Amina here. I think she will sit off Fansify, so you'll be a little bit holding your breath at the 400-meter mark. She'll have a little bit of ground to make up, but she'll be steaming home down the outside. I think she's the one. She's bulletproof, needs to improve off her first-up performance. Gumdrops was good. Vestas just doesn't have a big rating on the board yet, and Amina does. So I'm Amina. Pretty keen way to finish the card. Bot, any thoughts?
Not really. It looked a tough race, but I do agree. I think Amina probably should be favourite, but it's a flat market.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to get back, which is a little bit of a query, but Fansify will get a soft lead. What do you think of she's bulletproof? Because she's obviously she's probably the best horse in the race, but was abysmal first up.
She was. I don't think she goes when the ground is even spat on. I think she needs rock hard, firm track, but still, like, I don't really want to back her to just improve six lengths.
Yeah, she'd need to.
Yeah, and some more. Nico, I don't think Nico is betting in this race. No. All right, what have we got in Sydney? Let me just get up my Sydney card. Nico, you're not betting in that last race, are you?
No.
All right. Does look a little bit of a tricky way to end the card, but Amina. I haven't really been on her much, but Saturday's the day. All right, we'll go over to Rosehill Gardens. Rails out 2 metres. Should be playing reasonably fair, we hope. It's going to be more warm weather. I don't think, Nico, are you betting in any race on the card in Sydney?
No, I didn't like the card at all, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, race four looks a two-horse race very between trappy. Mahuna and Beedman. The market has really gravitated towards Mahuna, $1.95 best price. Beedman now $3.90 best price. Farnacle's going to be hard to beat race five.
I don't know. I had a thought in the...
I don't know if Beedman's that good, to be honest. I like that Napoleonic.
Napoleonic.
Yeah.
Napoleonic.
It's a nice horse.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's got to come up a little bit to be beating Mahuna. But she's odds on and he's $8.50. But what was your opinion?
Half a thought in the Roman Consul. I thought Gallo Nero is a better horse than what it is a two-year-old. And I think it went really well in the Spirit of Boom Classic and then just on the bog, it just failed in the size produce. The two-year-old form, Mahuna is like, it's not good really, like in the scheme of things. So, and trialed well against In Flight. I had a quick look at Sydney just because I was bored.
So that's that same race four, $11.
Mm.
I would have backed Federalist in the gloaming. That was race six, but he's come out. They're going to go straight to the spring champion next week, I would think, unless there's something wrong with him. That's the reason he's been scratched. I'm really hoping he goes spring champion, then backs up into a derby because I just think he's looking for ground. Race seven's the
Jesus, some breeding. There's some breeding in the gloaming stakes. It gets you going. That Master of Air looks very talented. Had a Don't Doubt Mama. I don't know if you remember that horse, Ben. Champagne Hero.
Of course I remember Don't Doubt Mama.
What a horse.
What about within
the
wall?
She won a Group 2. She's drawn cast.
Yeah, well, does it stay?
They're going to back up into the King Charles next week.
Is that really?
Apparently so.
Is it going to stay?
48 kilos.
Yeah.
Champagne Hero was really good last time at Newcastle. That rating was good. Time figures good. 1 by 4. Led them up. Gay Bot, Barrier 1. Like, it might be the one you go looking for at $6.
Shangri-La Boys are half to Storm Boy. And
yeah. These two Gay Bot horses are just going to pair off and go straight to the front.
Probably. Set it up for Master of the Air. I think that's a nice horse.
And they've got the same colours. So, yeah, good luck. Race seven's the Navision. Gangster Granny. It was a bit of a train wreck last time. She's $2.80 favorite. Things just didn't go right. Probably wasn't one of Tyler Schiller's best rides. You can probably be forgiving. I don't know if I want to chime in.
Horrible race
at that price, but if she produces the rating she showed when she ran second to Autumn Glow 2 back, she will win that doing cartwheels. Let's go to the two features. Race 8, the Hill Stakes, Group 2, 1900 metres. Last year won by Attrition, who's a big price again. Linderman, $2.40. Kovalika, $7. Alamaz, $7.50. Light Infantryman, $8.50. Kingswood, $10. Militarize and Attrition are $16. And Faulkner might have won this race by 10. Faulkner Park is $17, but he was really bad first up. The map should be pretty straightforward. Linderman wants to come across from barrier 14 and take it up. Palmetto led at a good tempo last time. He's drawn barrier 10. Alamaz wants to be forward. Bois d'Argent wants to be forward, but it's worth noting Bois d'Argent is only first up. We've seen in the past he doesn't go as fast first up as he would deeper on in the preparation. We saw that last preparation or two preps ago in that Peter Young when he didn't really go and chase prior to Jenny. I'm backing a few to beat Linderman here. I think barrier 14 out to 1900 metres, there's a slight bit of vulnerability and I'd have him north of $3 in my market. So I've backed Light Infantryman at $10, Kingswood at $12 and Attrition at $16. I'll go in that order. Light Infantryman is just looking for tempo and more ground. He should get more tempo on here. He's got the biggest rating in this race. He ran 104.6 when he won that Australian Cup. He's not going to go anywhere near that, but he should get more tempo. And third up, hopefully he's fit enough. I think he's going to run a much improved race. Gav Bedgood he's keen. He's got Kingswood absolutely flying. Comes through a fast run race, ran second to Golden Path. That form is good. That should only bring him on even more. 1,700 to 1,900 metres second up is good. And we know, going back to last spring, like he just killed them in a Coonjee. He's got plenty of talent. Attrition, $16. I'm also having something on. I think he's just building. This is his day. He's won on this day the last 2 years. He won the Toorak Handicap 2 years ago, and then he won the Hill Stakes last year. He'll be sent forward from that gate, and he's coming off the Fiend, which is the exact same preparation. It's just the perfect prep for him. A nice, good tempo in that Fiend. Come here, 1,900 metres, K-Mac, go forward. He covered ground last year. He still beat Kovalika. He's more than double the price of Kovalika here. I think it's a good bet at $16. So those are the three I've sent in my thoughts around.
How is Kovalika $7? Like fair dinkum. The horse is an absolute mule. It's had its
birthday. I thought you were saying you're going to like it.
It's had its birthday at one track and one track only. How is it $7? Like fair dinkum.
It was good last time behind Fangirl.
Oh, don't you start. Don't you start. No way.
He's got a couple ratings that could win, but yeah, I'm not.
Ben,
I'm not,
don't you start.
It's too short. I've had my three bets.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you, to be honest. I think sort of Light Infantryman is in a good position. We'll see the best of him now that he's out and trip. And I couldn't knock Kingswood or Attrition. Alamaz was a bit last start. I know he's got a good second up record, but yeah.
He needs to improve.
There's a lot of dead wood in this race, like Militarize, Faulkner Park, yuck. Maison Louis, nice horse, but next preparation. There's some real just bot type horses in this race. Converge, Bot's old mate. How did he ever beat Animo? Fuck me. Oh. Yeah, anyway. Good luck.
All right. Let's move on to race 9, the Alan Brown. They may as well call this the death of the Epsom. 1,400 metres. It's a quality handicap. 1.5 million. Miss Rumbini is $4.60. I've had a little bit of mail land on my desk.
Really?
She could be coming out.
She could. Who is she?
Miss Rumbini. She may be scratched. I'm not going to release why on a public forum, but it will come out in due course if she is. Gringotts is $7.50. Will He Do It? $10. Scratch from the Turak. Bizzusto, $11. General Salute, $11. Firestorm, $12. Waterford, $13. We know Waterford, he absolutely loves Rose Hill, but he also loves the 1500 and the 14. I would have been with Miss Rumbini if she was running in this race. I don't think she is. She has been awesome this preparation. She ran second to Magic Time first up, and she ran second in the Rupert Clark to Sepples. She draws wide, but she was always going to go back anyway. Tommy Berry, 55 kilos. I would have been keen, but I think she's coming out. So I'm going to back two others. I've backed number one, Gringotts, $7.50, bet 365, and Bizzusto, $10, bet 365. If you are shopping early, do your shopping with 365, just with the deductions policy. Only deduct off winnings, not off the stake itself, so you'll get better odds. Gringotts, he was good first up on a heavy 10 track. This is obviously a clear class drop. His recent trial at Wyong was awesome. I know there has been temperatures and the like, and there has been a few times he's been scratched. But barrier one, he's a proven carrier of weight. Nash Willer, clearly the best horse in this race, and he's on side for me. And Bizzusto is another one I'm backing. He ran second to With Your Blessing last time. That was just a perfect building run for this. He gets the dream run. Barrier six, I think he lands in the 1-1, and I think Gringotts probably box seats. And he just needs an even tempo, and I think he can produce his best. We saw what he did on the Gold Coast last preparation. If this was a wet track, you'd be even keener, but he still goes on a good track, and I think he's a good bet. He's well-weighted with 57. So I'm keen 1 and 5. If Miss Rumbini runs, she's my best result, but I don't think she's running. Nico?
No, nothing for me. Miss Rumbini's out, right. No interest.
Yep. And the last race, Roslyn Star, I think this horse is going to be mighty hard to beat. I believe Return gelded this preparation. I'd probably just have to clarify that.
Yeah, it was.
But last start rating is the best in the race. I think Map's good. And I think a horse like Amazing Eagle is going to get back a long way. And the only other danger is probably Polyglot. So Roslyn Star, can see why it's a short price favorite. Right, out wide bets. Friday, Sunday, Will?
No, I've got nothing. You're betting at Cramming, aren't you?
Having one bet, Nico?
Haven't even looked, to be honest. No interest whatsoever.
I'm going to back hedged race 5. Race 7, Cranbourne on Friday night. First time Gavin Bedgood. I know it's a very good gear change. This horse has been a little bit of a frustration, to say the least, but go watch his jump out. It's as good as he's ever gone. He draws barrier 1 here, so I just need him to begin well. A horse like Jigsaw is probably going to come across from barrier 4, take up the lead. We're going to be rails and run, which can often be a very good spot to be at Cranbourne if this track is hard and fast. And we're just going to need luck at the right time. We need him to begin well. If he does, I think he's clearly the best horse in the race. I'm not worried about the weight he has to carry. And there's a fair bit of confidence around from the camp. Just go back and watch this horse's trial. It went straight past fast horses like Nadal, Philosopher, under an absolute chokehold last time. Charcoal's his favourite, the My Racehorse runner, coming off a benchmark 84 win at the Valley. Like, please. I know it's got winning form, but I couldn't have it as short as it is. And hedged. It might be D-Day preparation, and I think he's in for a good one. So hedged he is. All right. Nothing else from anyone?
No.
No, sir. It's been well backed, hedged.
Yeah, well, I've heard Jackson Oldham send it out as a bet.
Oh.
So we've sent it out as a bet, and Jacko sent it out as a bet, and it's been 380 into 330, or even shorter some joints.
Watch Daggers win.
All right. Just to really podcast multi
in me.
It was so funny.
Oh, yeah, it'll be hilarious, but...
Walking to the Valley from the pub we were at with Nico after Dagger's loss was fucking hilarious. It was just kicking the cat.
Yeah. Well named. A dagger straight through the heart.
Fuck, it was funny.
And Bot got good comedy out of it. He was just sitting there laughing like a Cheshire cat.
No, I wasn't laughing. I felt bad for you at the time, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's right. Funny now.
At the time, and then after, I just burst into tears.
Yeah.
Podcast
Nico, multi. You're left of screen, so you get the first best bet.
I'll have Treasure.
Treasure the moment. Lock it in. $1.75.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go King Zephyr, race 5, number 8. Will.
Mr. Verse. Ugh. You can do it to place if you want. Sake. You can do it to place if you want. Do it to place then. Do it to place. I don't care.
We'll go to the place, Nico.
That's not even a great option, really.
We're going the place. So, this may be our shortest podcast multi ever, but it's 215 into 175 into 175. This will not be beaten. That's what they'll be singing.
What price does it come out as?
$6.50, roughly.
What could possibly go wrong?
Doesn't matter. You'll win. All right. It is question time. Let me scroll down and get them up. Twitter first. Chris the Caster, he likes his cycling, as you do, Bot, as we've seen in the past with his questions. This guy, Morton Wang Backsass. That can't be an actual name. I've said it wrong. He won 100 kilos of local salmon for winning for his Norway team. What would you do with it?
I don't like fish, so I'd give it to someone else.
Simon, Sai on Twitter. I expect the phrase Scheisenhausen to be used regularly. I reckon you must have used that phrase in the past, but.
Me? I've never said that.
No, maybe it was Nico.
I'd say.
Boom punting. Ben and Nick, are you looking for 4 or 5 bedroom houses on the 5th of November? Know a few real estate agents in town?
What's that about?
Don't put the cup before the horse.
Don't put the cup before the horse.
Yeah.
See what I did there? We don't want anyone early crowing this multi. Racing Journo, a.k.a. Fake Ray Thomas. I'm happy to come on if you want any breaking news. Well, I think if we revealed the Fake Ray live on our podcast, that would probably give us over 2,000 listeners instantly.
Every chance, yeah.
Oscar Gordon, what price is linebacker going to start in its next race based off the Kaying Rising trial?
Far too short.
He's going to go to the Silver Eagle. He's probably going to be favourite.
Oh, 100% he'll be favourite.
Look, one thing I will say about linebacker, he does always trial well, and he did have Zach Lloyd in the saddle. Zach Lloyd probably walks around at dead set 45 kilos.
I think he walks around at 52.
All right.
Like actual,
I'm putting a bit of... Putting a bit of may on it, but he can ride 48 kilos, 49 kilos.
He would have been 7 kilos less than Zach, easily.
Yeah, he would have been at least 5.
Yeah, at least.
Mitch, does Bot give Vinrock no chance in the Guineas, seeing as he didn't mention in the article, and all play at Ascot looks a winner if anyone's done the form WH is.
No, I give Vinrock a chance. I just try to keep it to a short enough.
Yep. Speaking of WA, Nico, race 9, there's 2 good Bob Peters horses going around in Opportunistic and First Encounter, so that's worth watching.
Yeah, I'll have a look now quickly.
Opportunistic is probably going to be Michael Grantham's, Mick Grantham, probably going to be his railway horse. Yep. Death Threats, what is your best multi? Well, we just gave it.
Zephyr the treasure.
Hopefully it wins because
Summer of Falcon. Can Mick McGualter quit if Kaying Rising loses?
Please.
No.
Bob Jones, thoughts on this multi? Mahuna, Point Barrow to place, King Zephyr, and Treasure of the Moment pays around $9.40.
Well, Point Barrow is probably iffy leg. If place. But if it gets back.
I'm gonna say I like it, but yeah. Dave Jansen, what's a safe/conservative 3 or 4 leg multi you would consider for the remainder of the spring carnival? I don't think there's any such thing as a safe multi.
We're not answering that question.
Why?
Well, because it looks too good to be true.
Yeah,
going in the Everest, apocalyptic in the 1,000 guineas. There may be
Sir Delius in the Cup.
Certain horse to win the Melbourne Cup. But...
Benchy, what's your thoughts on Farnacle this weekend? Looks a bet. Yeah, Benchy, we didn't really cover that race 5 at Rose Hill, but clearly on top. Comes through that Mahuna form line, and that might just be better form than these. Bailey Tink, 1,400 metres, Ramwick, Swift Camel versus Stormcat. Who wins? Swift Falcon versus Storm Boy.
They both run backwards.
Storm Boy wins, clearly, because he'll be in front and Swift Falcon will be like 10 lengths off him.
Very interesting. Storm Boy would win that. In that race at Ascot, that Parnham's on opportunistic and CJP's on first encounter.
Who's the number one rider for him?
Well, CJP's ridden opportunistic in every trial and race.
Maybe Parnham is the only one who can get down to 53 kilos.
Well, CJP's riding first encounter at 54.
Oh, 54. Yeah, maybe that's just not a thing then. I don't know. Ryan Patton with Bots Fetish of the equine family tree. He'd be as toey as Roman Sandal with Very Stellar debuting Friday night at Cranbourne, full sister to Very Elegant.
I saw that. That'd be good.
Of course you did. Of course you did. With Twitter and meltdown after the most watched trial since OJ Simpson. Good one. Will we get double figures come race day about Kai Ying rising?
No, we won't, unfortunately. Maybe, I think you'll get a maybe on track with the on-course bookies, but still then, I don't think so.
I think you'll get $1.80. Yellow Todd, can the bot explain his horrid suit jacket he had on at Flemington?
Yeah, I saw that. Was it like, you saw my jacket, Ben. It wasn't that bad, was it? It's just a fucking normal jacket.
It's a bit of Tommy Shelby vibes.
It's just a fucking normal jacket. Jesus Christ. I saw that. It's just a jacket.
Well, Todd didn't like it at all. So you got to explain yourself. It's Bot's way of making himself look a little bit more sophisticated. Racing Nuff. Tattoo bookings are limited. And it's a tattoo of Kai Ying rising. Gee, AI is getting way too good. Wait. That looks real.
What is it?
It's a tattoo of Kai Ying rising, but it's AI produced, but it looks sort of real.
It's going to happen, pray.
Yeah, well, Stu's buying his tattoo gun.
Yeah.
He's going
to... he was using it before. Did you
Stu
say that?
Will not be tattooing me.
He's going to get Nico at a vulnerable time when he's at his worst at 3 a.m.
Absolutely. His absolute best.
In absolutely a kitchen somewhere. Tom Kennedy, Vinrock overs at $8. I think $8.50 is a good price.
I agree.
Malakaz, any chance of the Racing and Sports Boys getting on the pod for the Coogee preview? Well, the Coogee's at a weird time because it's next Wednesday.
We don't do midweek previews.
We're not going to do a... I don't think
next week's
podcast
is completely up in the air.
Yeah.
Sorry to
break
it to
you, Bali. I'm away in Bali next week from my best mate's wedding. So we're just going to have to see how we go, but... You can take the short odds that we won't be doing a preview podcast for the Coogee. I'm really sorry to Adam Blanco. I'm sure they'll still do one, him and Simon on their own one. Ishak Bashir, assuming Kai Ying Rising just wins, who do you guys like to place in the Everest? Decent odds for them.
I reckon
I like Lady Shenandoah to place. I think she'll improve. I just think you have to put a line through what happened last time.
I reckon War Machine will run better than what a lot of people think. Top four, top five. I think he'll be sort of, he'll map well because he can be sort of forward and midfield in a race that doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of horses that will take that position.
Yeah. And I think if Jimmy Starr can be more forward, he'll run well.
I don't know if he
can get too far back.
I don't know if he can be more forward, to be honest.
Yeah, he's got no gate speed. He's a 1,400 metre horse.
He's exactly like Master Crusader. That's exactly what he is.
Yeah, I'm Nathan Burkett, just said B. I think he was meant to finish that, but he didn't. Stu Ferenchi. I heard there was a horse from Hong Kong trialing this week. Haven't heard much about it. It's very original. Stu Ferenchi, who's a bigger FLOG? Tony Otterbrey or Sean Driver from Corinda?
Who's that?
The bloke who's been spruking up Private Harry for the last couple of months.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of social media chatter. Creates good interest. It's good for the game. Stu, 10 days, 14 months in the making, 10 effing days. Yeah, well, Stu is our man. He's the one who got Kai Ying Rising added to the Everest market all those times ago. I think it was back in December. He won a race at Sha Tin, and I just thought, we've got to get this horse in Everest markets. Who knows? He might be coming. Bang. Tim Ryan from the tab put up $15. We swiftly took it. Nick Sorace, Sepple's is the horse to beat in the Turak? Question mark.
Yeah, it's favourite.
It's the horse to beat. I just think 1600 metres might test it. It might.
You reckon?
Potentially. Look, I say that. And then if you look at the Australian Guineas, I still think he recorded the fastest last 400 of the race. But
yeah, he just got too far back.
Yeah. He was getting a little bit tight on the line, but it was at the end of a very long preparation. So, yeah, he's definitely the horse to beat. And Jackson Wing says, making my UK Ascot debut next weekend for Champions Day. Any plays or previews?
That's,
do we know what's going there?
That's so far away. It's not funny. That's next week's problem.
Yeah. Lazat is going to break hearts again if it goes to the sprint.
Yours?
I don't know if I could be with it yet again. If Trawlerman goes to the staying race, it'll probably be hard to beat. It'll be short. So it's probably your best bet. In the Champion Stakes, you've got Ombudsman, Calandigan, and Delacroix going around again. I think Delacroix is going to retire to stud after this race. If it's a hard and fast track, Calandigan. If it's a soft track, Ombudsman. All right. That's that. An hour and 10. We'll wrap up the podcast there. Any final thoughts, boys? You going to Caulfield this week, anyone?
Yeah, I'm working.
No, not for me.
I may go, but I've got a 7 a.m. flight to Bali.
Don't even bother. The racing's just junk. Just save yourself for next week.
Yeah, but I got a free MRC membership, so I've got to
use it. What's next week? Is that Caulfield Cup? Yeah, it's Caulfield Cup.
No, it's Everest Day. Not Caulfield Cup.
It's Caulfield Cup.
No, it's Everest Day, actually.
No, it's Caulfield Cup Day.
What is the Caulfield Cup? I'm joking. That's a bit disrespectful.
Your fucking mouth out.
All right, let's start with the podcast here. Have a great weekend. Hopefully you can back a winner or five, get the early quaddie, the late quaddie, and build that bank because next week.
Just save the bullets for next week.
Randwick is not ready. I'll tell you that very much.
No, it's not. Nico, Bot, and Benny just tackling it.
You know what else about this podcast? We're bringing the outro song back.
Yes. Good shout.
And this
I thought
is
you could
a,
do that.
Well, I just got to find Carol a song. Nah, just this song.
To get ready for the Everest.
Nah. You know Kiki, the DJ? She's been dominating.
Or Great Southern Land, just a bit of a pump up.
I'm doing a Kiki song.